Hey, Jen, want to talk about how to convince your spouse to join you in growing your marriage?
Nope, I'm good.
Great. Today we're going to discuss the challenge when your spouse is okay with being okay. Let's do it. Welcome to the Intimate Covenant Podcast, where we believe the Bible and great married sex both belong on your kitchen table. That's right, we're talking about holy, covenant-bound, intimate relationships with hot sex.
We're Matt and Jen, founders of Intimate Covenant. We offer biblical teaching and resources to help married couples achieve a fuller relationship and an extraordinary sex life. For more information, visit our website, intimatecovenant.com.
Welcome, friends.
Welcome. Thanks for joining us again on another episode of Intimate Covenant Podcast.
Always good to have you with us. Thank you for taking the time out of your week to join us. We certainly appreciate your presence and your encouragement with everything that we're doing on with Intimate Covenant.
Right. And if you're on our social media pages, then this past week you saw our exciting announcement that we are coming to Bowling Green, Kentucky.
Yeah, we kind of hinted at this.
August 27th.
That's right. We kind of hinted at this a few weeks ago, but finally got everything finalized and the details worked out. And
registration went live.
Yes.
And so go to our Facebook page, go to our Instagram page, go to our website and find out information about that.
Yeah, intimatecovenant.com/BG2022. So
that's right.
Obviously that stands for Bowling Green 2022. and that link will also be in the show notes. So you can find that there. Our topic at Bowling Green, our theme is called Beloved.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all about exploring love and romance in the Song of Songs.
Right. We are super excited for that. Space is limited. So if you are in the Bowling Green area, the Kentucky area, and you want to join us, sign up soon.
We would definitely love to see you there.
And now another thing that we're doing while in Bowling Green.
Yes, taking advantage of that opportunity.
Yes, is we are also hosting a singles seminar, and that'll be on Friday night, August 26th.
It's a free event.
Yep.
Anybody who is unmarried, if you're a young adult in particular, college age or so, we're certainly targeting this audience. But if you are single and you want to spend some time with us, we would love to talk to you. Our topic for that seminar is Kingdom Singles, is what we have titled that.
Right.
It is about, we're going to several topics that evening we're going to discuss from 7 to 9 on that Friday night. Specifically, living with a kingdom purpose while you're single.
Right. We're going to talk about singleness and holy sexuality.
Right. And then purposeful dating.
Right.
So doing all that in the context of living as a single in the kingdom. Obviously, those are important topics to young single adults. So that's what we're going to target with that.
We would love to see all of the singles in Bowling Green. So they're probably not listening to this podcast, which means y'all are going to have to tell them to come meet us.
So if you know some singles in that area, obviously in Bowling Green is Western Kentucky University. So if you know someone there or are connected to someone in that area, let them know. No registration is necessary. Again, it's a free event. But if you go to our social media, you'll find that flyer with all the details. Or just email us. If you can't find it any other way, just email me, podcast@intimatecovenant.com. We'll forward that information to you so that we can get all the single ladies and men there in Bowling Green.
I thought you were about to burst out in song there, honey. I was going to have to put a stop to that.
You know how I feel about Beyonce.
Oh, mercy. Okay, moving on. So what are we talking about today, Matt?
So, yeah, so as you get from the intro, this episode is about moving from a settling sort of mindset to more striving together.
This is
an important topic, and I think one that all of us deal with at some point or another. We are at a point where we want our spouse to grow with us in some particular direction.
Right.
But this email was very compelling, so much so that we kind of bumped it up to the top of our list. But the emailer says, "Dear Matt and Jen, I've been trying to write this email for months, but listening to episode 91 really crystallized the question for me. Here it is. how did Jen transition from a mindset that what Matt is trying to do is a critique of her to a mindset of joining Matt on this different path you both are now on? Men and women have asked several times about getting their spouses to join them on this different path and the resistance that they meet. Your answers have been a variation on keep striving, not surprisingly. The question behind these people's question, though, is how do I know I'm doing the right thing? Do I need to try something else? I'm looking for a very generalized roadmap of going from the typical marriage. It's a shame that this is a typical marriage in his mind, but he's probably right. Going from a typical marriage where both partners go from simply settling to striving together. I know it's going to be different for every marriage, but surely there are some large-scale trends that can be observed and discussed. Thanks for your podcast. I love what y'all are doing.
Great email. We love it. This one has a whole lot to it. And in fact, it has so much to it that we have some extended content for this episode.
We've already prepared ourselves. We're not going to get to everything we want to say about this topic. And so we are going to include some extended content. If you're a member of Covenant Club, you can find that extended content on the Covenant Club site.
Right. And the extended content is coming in the form of a video. So hello to everybody that is going to be watching this. We are filming ourselves recording a podcast. So my mind's a little blown because there's a whole lot of recording equipment around us. But we are going to use this episode to provide a little bit of extended content, a little peek behind the scenes, if you will. So if you're interested in all of that, join us on Covenant Club.
If you want to see the look on Jen's face when I make certain comments or suggestions, or when she feels like I'm rambling or not, you can catch all of the behind the scenes cues.
You're going to get to see all the hand motions that I do towards Matt. That's right. How do they find us on Covenant Club, honey?
IntimateCovenant.com/members. That will get you to the portal into the Covenant Club. Join us there. We'd love to have you. Obviously, there's so many other things going on in Covenant Club, and we'd love to have you there.
We keep adding new stuff, so including this. All right. So let's dig into this. And I appreciate that the very first part of this is this person is asking kind of a little bit more about our story and specifically wanting to ask me, how did I transition from a mindset that you were critiquing me to joining you on the path we're on now?
I think I love this question, and I think it really gets to kind of the heart of what we all encounter and we personally have encountered. And one of the reasons why we started all of this was to try to encourage couples to move from this mindset of, again, what he calls a typical marriage of just kind of settling towards something that was bigger and moving towards something greater together. This is something we all come up against. All of us, whether you're a sexual pursuer or an emotional pursuer or whatever it is that you're striving for personally or what you want that's different, all of us want something more, something greater, something bigger in some way. And so that's why you're all here, I hope. I think that's why you're all here. So again, this kind of backs us up from some of the specific topics we've been addressing, kind of backs us up and causes us to look at this at a bigger scale. Now, not, well, maybe at least ironically or at least coincidentally, this is also something that we really are looking at doing with the entire retreat this year. That's really the idea behind the topics that we're going to be exploring in the retreat, and this one specifically. So this couldn't have come at a better time, this question. It's also why we just jumped on it to get into the podcast, because our wheels have kind of been turning in this direction anyway. Now we're going to take all of this from this episode and the extended content and kind of really flesh that out and digest it and flesh it out again, to come up with some hopefully incredible sessions for the retreat. So another shameless plug for the retreat, but
come to the retreat.
It really is. I think this is going to be a really important part of the retreat as well. But I think where you were going is...
But going with, so, you know, he's wanting to know, what did this look like in our marriage? Right. How did we get where we are?
Right.
I ask myself that all the time. but I think to understand my part of it, it first started with you. So the change first started with you wanting something different and expressing that in a different way than you had before. So I think you have to start.
Well, okay.
And explanation.
Yeah, that's fair. So I think, at least especially in terms of sexually, but I think really all of this kind of started changing at once.
Mm-hmm.
But it did start at least for 20 years or so of me, you know, ramming my head against a wall, trying to convince you that things could be better, and I knew exactly how that was going to be, and trying to introduce new things, new methods, new topics, just trying to introduce something new, right. Something to move in a growth direction. But eventually, I came to the realization that I needed to realize and recognize that Jen was not the problem or the solution, that you weren't what I was up against, that really I needed to first deal with myself.
Yeah.
And so getting to that point was a wake-up call, and it took me 20 years to realize this.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually I decided, you know what, I'm tired of trying to change Jen. What I can do is deal with myself.
Right.
And so I stopped trying to change Jen, and I started to deal with myself. In this case, it was dealing with my own poor understanding about sex, and really working on myself, working on understanding myself, dealing with my porn issue, getting that out of my life, getting and developing then a more holy view of sexuality, understanding the purpose of sexuality, and moving myself in that direction. And then the conversations, then I also decided, again, not trying to change you, but just trying to start a conversation.
Yeah.
But the conversation shifted from me with the probing and the feeling out, you know, trying to take the temperature of the room, or I stopped trying to convince you
mm-hmm.
that my way was better, or that I had all the right ideas, and that, you know, I just wanted you to come along and do things my way. I moved from that mindset to just simply trying to introduce vulnerable and honest conversations,
right.
Even if I was the only one sharing
mm-hmm.
About where we were, conversations about where we could grow, but especially just conversations about who I was. And that started with confession about who I had been.
Mm-hmm.
That started with fruits of repentance of my misuse and my misunderstanding about sexuality. That also then, part of that conversation was then revelations about what I was learning about myself. In this process, learning about my past behaviors and why I had some of these behaviors, learning about my style of relating and where that was coming from in my past, how that I had misused that, how I had developed these coping mechanisms, and being able to share that with you, how those coping mechanisms were harming our relationship, how they were preventing the kind of intimacy that we wanted.
Mm-hmm.
All of that was where this started.
Right.
But again, I think boiling this down, it was about deciding that Jen was not the problem.
Yeah.
That it wasn't about what I was missing. It was about taking what I had and using that to move our relationship forward and in offering a better version of myself.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, you just have to wake up and say, you know what, this isn't working because I'm not offering something worth pursuing.
Yeah.
Or worth responding to.
Yeah, and when you say it all that way, you think, well, what wife wouldn't go, ah? And yet, that's not our story, is it?
It's nobody's story.
Because when all that started happening, when I felt that shift, mm-hmm. when you went from you were no longer pressuring in this kind of probing type way, but yet all of a sudden being very frank, very honest, very vulnerable with me, and being very, like, just flat out stating, this is where I want to grow. Mm-hmm. I got angry at you.
Yeah. But also, I was saying, I'm going to grow.
Yeah.
Whether you come along or not.
Yes. And so I became angry and had a whole lot of conflicting emotions and, frankly, fear.
Yeah.
I think what was behind my anger, right? What's the next layer? What's always down below the anger for me was fear, because I was afraid of change. Mm-hmm. I wanted good enough to be good enough, and I was afraid of, you know, why do we need to change, and afraid of what was behind that change. But I was also afraid of being left out. And being left behind.
Right.
Because here you were saying, like, I'm gonna change and I'm gonna grow. And if you come along, this could be amazing. But even if you don't, I'm gonna be a better and more solid man. That left me feeling like, well, if I just sit on the sidelines and watch that, where am I gonna end up?
Sure.
And so, you know, for me, previous attempts to, like, go along with you and explore our sexual relationship would always result in just incredible anxiety. Mm-hmm. And for me, a lot of that dealt with the fact that that I had not done the work to understand my own sexuality. I especially had not done the work to understand the warping and damaging that had occurred because of the trauma of my past and sexual abuse. And so then, you know, I every time we came up against, like, really digging in and trying to explore our sexual relationship, anytime you would propose anything that had to do with our sexual relationship, it always just sent me into, you know, anxiety land.
Yeah,
well, and I shutting think, down.
I think
so. I was afraid of going there again.
Yes,
you know.
And I think a big part of that was not just where you were, but also where I was coming from.
Yeah,
that what I was presenting you was a rejection of who you were.
Yeah.
And it was about what you were or were not, instead of an invitation to something bigger and deeper.
Yes.
It wasn't an invitation to growth. It was just an invitation to some sexual novelty.
Previously.
Yes. Previously.
But now you were inviting me to growth.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think I remember being very angry, and then I remember feeling very lonely and just afraid. And so there was a moment that I just thought, okay, what if?
Mm-hmm.
What if I grew? What if I leaned into this fear? What if I trusted him?
Yeah.
What if I acknowledged that it could be better? And honestly, it should be better. That yeah, we had a good marriage, but there was work that needed to be done. And so, yeah.
I think we both at that point also saw glimpses of that this was not just about sex either.
No, it was so much bigger.
This was
it wasn't about bigger. What we were doing in the bedroom.
Absolutely. And all of those things that we were conflicted about were also had roots and tentacles into all the rest of our relationship.
Absolutely.
And it was impacting how we related emotionally and spiritually, right. And in every other way.
Right.
There were so many barriers there that we had not even really recognized, but right. We got to see a little glimpse in some of these conversations.
Yeah. I felt like the wall kind of started chipping down a little bit, and I could see this really could be amazing if I let it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you always think, oh man, there are some conversations in your marriage that I wish a tape recorder had been running.
Yeah.
And, and this is one of those conversations. Like, I wish we had it, that because we both know there was this incredible moment where we were in a car.
Yeah.
On our way actually to a little weekend getaway, and I had spent the entire week thinking, this could change everything if I stop being afraid. I don't know where it's going to go, but I could stop letting fear control me and lean into the possibility of growth.
And I had no idea this was coming.
No, because, you know, right, I hadn't given any of that away, and I had spent an entire week of just anxiety and upon anxiety of trying to decide which way do I want to go. And we got in that car and we were driving, and I remember turning to you and saying, okay.
It was quite a weekend.
Yeah. And so, you know, I just decided I wanted to understand. Mm-hmm. I wanted to understand myself. Now, the amazing thing that then came from that, because like you said, this wasn't just about sex.
Right.
This was about everything in our relationship, is that that shift in my mindset is what opened up all these doors to healing. Mm-hmm. It opened up the door to, I'll cry, actually allowing myself to confront my past.
Right.
And letting myself to go down the path of healing that.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. I don't know if anybody cares about all of that, but I appreciate that this person's question is starting from, how did I transition? Because mm-hmm. I think that is key, because I know even if there are, you know, your story is not my story, your story isn't necessarily a story that has childhood trauma to it. There are so many responders who are responding from a place of fear.
Right.
And so, you know, it's right that the question does start with, how do you get out of that? Mm-hmm. How do you change? And how did I stop seeing you as critiquing me and start seeing that together we could grow?
Is the question. And right. You know, I think what we're going to do in the next segment after the break is look at what the emailer is asking is, what's the generalized roadmap?
Yeah.
What does that look like? And right. maybe
we've,
what are some
we've
principles?
We've shared our story. Yes. Now, what are maybe some principles that you can grab from that? So yeah, let's go there after the break.
Perfect. Ah, summertime. Time for relaxing by the pool or on the beach. Putting your feet up and taking it easy, soaking in the warmth of the summer sun.
Whose world do you live in? More like, time to pack and unpack the endless bags, shuttling kids to camp and to grandma's house and to the family reunion, crammed in the minivan for hours on end, sleeping in uncomfortable beds, all while sweating buckets in the heat and humidity.
Sounds like you need something refreshing and relaxing to look forward to. And I know just the thing, the annual Intimate Covenant Marriage Retreat.
So true. Looking forward to the rest and relaxation we'll be having at the Intimate Covenant Marriage Retreat this fall. That's the perfect way to survive the chaos of the summer months.
The 2022 Marriage Retreat will be held at the Springwoods Marriott in The Woodlands, Texas, on September 22nd through the 24th. Our theme this year is Extraordinary Lovers, taking your marriage from good to great. Jen and I will present some new and challenging and fun sessions designed to encourage conversations with your spouse.
But don't worry, you'll have plenty of time for rest, refreshment, and relaxation with your beloved. It'll be the perfect recovery from your busy summer and getting those kids back to school.
Register now at our website, intimatecovenant.com/retreat. Space is limited and it's filling fast, so register today. You can save your spot with just a $200 deposit.
Now, go enjoy your summer and don't forget the sunscreen. All right. So before the break, we really went through our story. Now we want to pull out in a way to answer his second question. Mm-hmm. We want to pull out just some principles that we can share. So the line in his email is, I'm looking for a very generalized roadmap of going from the typical marriage where both partners go from simply settling to striving together. So again, he was asking, how did we do that? Mm-hmm. And what have we learned along the way?
Yeah.
So I think you first have to identify your goal.
Yeah.
And really what he's getting at, and sadly what I think is a lot of typical marriages, is how do you go from moving from a place of apathy, of just settling, of good enough is good enough, to both of you having a mindset of being eager and passionate about growth.
Well, and maybe the more specifically, how do I convince my spouse?
Yes.
To go from apathy,
right,
to growth,
right?
Because, and we get various versions of this question all the time.
Yeah.
How do I convince my spouse to do this or that, or how do I convince, yeah, my spouse to grow in this way or that way? And that's always the question. That there's some variation of that, but
right,
that's the question, is how do I convince my spouse to dot, dot, dot?
Right. Well, the short answer of that is you can't. And I think our story shows that we both had to make that decision.
Mm-hmm. But now, there are some things as a pursuer that can help create an environment where that is,
yeah,
more likely to happen.
And for a responder who is willing to be at that point of how do I get myself there?
Mm-hmm.
I think we have some hopefully wisdom that we could share with that. So, you know, I think, okay, when you're looking at this, whether you're talking emotionally or sexually, one of you is pursuing the growth and one of you is the one who's generally,
yeah, absolutely,
being perceived as not pursuing the growth.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in that case, you're the responder of that. And it's usually the responder then that does feel that sense of apathy,
mm-hmm,
that feels that kind of like, I'm okay being okay.
Yeah.
Why are you pressuring?
Right.
Why do you need me to grow? And we often, as a responder, kind of, I think, get caught up in the trying to understand the why,
mm-hmm,
or not even trying to understand it, just being angry.
Yeah.
At the, why do you need me to grow?
Why aren't you satisfied with what,
yeah,
we have?
Yeah. Yeah. But I think really where my advice to the responder, because I can speak to that side of it, is really you need to step back and say, what's behind the apathy?
Yeah.
What's behind the...
Why the resistance?
The resistance, right. And again, it's really only the responder that can answer that question and face that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like I shared, for me, fear was what was behind that. And I think that's what's
right, holding up any progress. There's always some fear, recognized,
right,
or not, but there's always some fear that holds up growth.
Right. Because I think fear is usually that fundamental reason that we avoid growing, that we are afraid to step out of our comfort zone. And mm-hmm, so we avoid that. I mean, it just doesn't feel comfortable.
Yeah, but I think, like what you alluded to, fear of growth doesn't always look like or feel like fear.
Right. I didn't say to you, oh, I'm really afraid.
Yes.
I got angry.
Sometimes it looks like anger or frustration.
Yeah.
It's that feeling of less than.
Yeah.
Because my spouse just won't be content with who I am.
Right. I didn't identify it as fear until I made myself look behind it.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, you're exactly right. It was frustration. It was, I'm fine. Why can't you be okay being fine?
Yes.
You know, but that's fear.
Yes.
Right. And I think really at the heart of that fear is giving more, which is what's being required,
mm-hmm,
right? What's being, not required, but what, that's what's being asked.
Yeah.
You are asking me to give more.
Mm-hmm.
And that felt like I was losing myself.
Yeah.
Especially when it was at first coming from a place of you pressuring that, you know, a sense of you're not enough.
Yeah.
I need more.
Yeah.
But just the thought of if I give more, what if more isn't what I want? And so if I give more, did I just lose myself?
Yeah, you lose your voice, you lose your will. Yeah, for sure.
Right. Right. If I give more in the bedroom and now we're doing more than I would have thought to do, is that, did I just become, you know, a body to be used?
Yeah. And on so, right. And to that point, on some level, you feel like, well, what is there? What do I have to gain from this?
Yeah.
Why is it even meaningful? Why does it even matter?
Right.
To me? There's nothing in it for me. It's all for you.
Right. Right. But you have to lean into that, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And understand, okay, well, what's behind that? Because I think what's behind the giving more feels like I'm losing myself is this sense of I don't want to grow. You know, why am I afraid of doing things that aren't what I have thought to do? Well, it might be that I don't really enjoy that, but that's a different conversation,
yeah.
Right? Usually it's coming more from I'm afraid of that. I'm afraid of that growth.
Yes.
And I'm afraid that if I say yes to this, there will never be an end game. Like, mm-hmm. that I will always be pressured into the next thing.
Yeah, yeah. I think the other thing to recognize as a responder is that you don't have to become the second pursuer in the relationship.
Right.
And I think that kind of dovetails with what you're saying. You don't have to become something different than who you are.
Right.
You right. just have to stop fighting your pursuer from leading the way towards more passion and energy yeah. in the relationship. You just need to sometimes just be a reflecting board of that energy and passion rather than something that just, you know, pushes all that aside. Sometimes if you just meet their energy or even raise your energy level and your passion level, just a tiny little notch, that's enough to satisfy what it is that your pursuer is seeking. So
right.
it's not that you even have to give up something of yourself. Sometimes you just have to validate what the pursuer is looking for.
Right. And I think, I mean, again, when you're looking at that, what's behind the apathy, it's helpful to ask yourself, what's the worst that could happen? And what's the best that could happen, right?
Those are good questions. Those are tough questions sometimes. But
right, because apathy wants to just keep us where we are.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But you got to say, if I don't stay where I'm at, okay, what's the worst that could happen? Mm-hmm. Well, the worst that could happen is that I might give of myself. I might be more vulnerable
mm-hmm.
with my spouse and they might hurt me.
Yeah.
So I have to ask myself, can I trust my spouse to not hurt me?
And for some of you, that's a very realistic question to answer sure. and ask. And you, at some point, might have to be honest enough with your spouse to say, if I give in this way, I don't trust that you're not going to hurt me.
Right. But then that identifies there's where the growth yes. needs to happen. Right.
Right. Exactly.
Instead of just staying in this place of apathy, you have a path now
mm-hmm.
towards growth.
And you have a conversation.
Growth.
And you have a conversation to work through that. But right. ultimately, that conversation will be far better if your spouse knows what they're up against, if your spouse knows that there are behaviors that they have done in the past that don't make themselves trustworthy.
Right.
Or you have to understand, why can't I trust them? Is that on them? Is that on me? Or is that some dynamic between us?
Right.
But again, the flip side to that question is, what's the best that can happen?
Right, right. And really, when you ask yourself what's the best that can happen, then you take that place of fear and you find where's the hope.
Mm-hmm.
And now instead of dwelling on fear, you can dwell on hope. So for me, my fear was, you know, rooted in this place of just being so afraid of the growth, of the unknown.
Well, yeah, that, I mean, most responders live in that place of what's the worst that can happen.
Right.
It's that list is easy for you to make.
It is. Responders are really good at that word. But when I allowed myself to say, what's the best that could happen? Well, now I have a place of hope.
Mm-hmm.
Now I can say, oh, the best that could happen is we could grow.
And I might actually like it.
We might be more intimate in all the ways that I've been wanting a stronger intimacy. And really that requires you as a responder to say, well, what's in this for me? So again, the responder is afraid, like if I say yes, you're just going to keep asking for more and it's going to be all about you and not about me at mm-hmm, all. Mm-hmm. But flip that and say, but if I say yes, what could be in it for me? So start right. dwelling on what's in it for me. Now you've adopted a growth mindset mm-hmm. versus having that mindset of just seeking safety in what's comfortable.
And the status quo.
And the status right. quo. And then you're going to then be at a place where you can start challenging and changing your relationship for the better in every aspect.
Yeah, and what
right. you know, whatever the issue is, sexually or emotionally,
right.
you know, however that is, learning it to get out of that, I just want safety, into that place of, I want growth.
Yeah, and what I would better. Say is that for almost every responder, there are places where you are safe, and there are also other places where you would like some growth.
Yeah.
But shifting yourself out of that safe mindset will help you to see that there are places, if you grow in one area, it is inevitable that you will grow in every area.
Right.
Especially if you can begin to change your mindset to see the bigger picture.
Right.
So really, we've kind of gone the back door to helping try yeah. to answer this email's yeah. question, but let's maybe shift and come at it a little bit more directly. Like what can the pursuer in these cases do
right.
to make their spouse confront their apathy? And you already answered this question earlier, but the short answer is nothing.
Right.
You can't require your spouse to do anything. You can't make them change. You can't make them see this perspective. You can't do anything that will guarantee. I don't have a guaranteed answer for you. Otherwise, I would just simply write the book and live off our royalty checks, because everybody's looking for that answer, right?
Right. Right.
But all I can do is inspire my spouse to change, but I cannot require it.
Yeah.
And I think that goes back to kind of where the shift happened in our relationship is when I decided I'm going to do this for myself. I'm going to change. I'm going to live according to what I'm keep saying that I want.
Right. And what I perceived is the pressure that I had been used to mm-hmm. all of a sudden totally changed. And you became just this solid version of yourself that said, I'm growing. Want to come along?
Yeah.
That is completely different. No.
At first you rejected
and
that.
You as a pursuer have to be okay with that.
Yes, like, that's right.
You might be rejected.
You just have to be solid enough to say, this
and
is...
And you were for a time.
This is better for me. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, it's better for our relationship. It
right.
may not get us exactly where I would like it to go.
Yeah.
But ultimately, it's still going to be better for me. And so I'm going to live according to what I keep saying that I want.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, like anything else, for something to change in your relationship, guess what? Something has to change. Yeah. And the only thing I can control is myself. So I'm going to change myself. Mm-hmm. Now, that is the most effective way to inspire growth.
Yeah.
But it's also the most risky.
Right.
Because I might decide I'm going to change. My spouse may not like that, and that may drive them further away.
Right.
It's correct. Risky, right? If I had made that change and you had said, I don't like this version of you anymore because I no longer have the same influence or power dynamic or whatever it might be, mm-hmm. if I don't like the way this is going, I'm going to pull further away.
Yeah.
That could have happened.
Right.
Thankfully, I didn't really weigh all of those potential consequences. I just went for it because I might have talked myself out of it. But that is risky. But also in that, we learned how to embrace conflict.
Yeah.
I think that was maybe one of the biggest parts of this is we stopped being afraid of the conflict between us.
Right.
And we started to see conflict as an opportunity for growth
right.
and learning about each other as opposed
yes.
to a place where we just would fight and grow apart.
Right. But I think that's because when you as a pursuer are in that place, you're a whole lot less short-term focused and much more long game
yes.
focused.
My focus was no longer about how can I get her in bed tonight. my focus was, how can I be a better version of myself so that what I am offering is impossible to refuse? Mm-hmm. Not that I'm impossible to refuse, but I mean, this is why we need to be on the video version.
Oh, honey.
So I think me overall, though, a lot of this was about me redefining what the problem was. Yeah. Again, the problem is not about what's missing from my relationship or what is my spouse not giving me. Mm-hmm. You know, instead of, you know, you get into this mindset of if my spouse would only do this, if they would just do this.
If only.
If only. If when you're starting sentences with if only they would do this, then you are missing the point. Yeah. And all of this starts with a hefty dose of contentment. Learning to recognize that what I have is valuable, and stop living from the mindset of I need something different. Mm-hmm. Because your definition of what's not enough or your definition of what is just okay is likely profoundly better than some other couple and what they could ever hope for.
True.
So
right.
Starting with just some contentment and gratitude and thankfulness
what you have may be exactly what another couple one day would hope to be. Mm-hmm. Right.
So starting with some contentment and being grateful and thankful for what you do have, the fact that you do have a spouse is better than what some can say.
Right.
So, this starts with reinforcing consciously and just consistently, regularly, daily offering statements of praise and gratitude towards your spouse. Tell them how thankful you are for whatever little thing that they do for you. Start with that contentment. And then start taking responsibility for my part of the dynamic. Mm. So again, just like we told you in our story, that started with me apologizing for the way that I had contributed to the conflict. The way that I was approaching things, the way that I was pursuing things was making the problem worse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but when you apologize for that, my natural reaction was like, there's not a problem.
Well, yes.
Because I wanted to just even deny that there was a problem.
Yeah, sure. But
but at other times, I was plenty frustrated at you because I did see you as the problem.
Yeah, so, or you would say, yeah, you're exactly right. And here's some more that you need to apologize for, which is okay. But I needed to apologize for how I was contributing to that conflict, to that anxiety, to that tension. Yeah. And approach it from a different way. Mm-hmm. And then, again, like we talked about, being able to deal with myself, learn how to deal with myself, understand where all of those feelings are coming from. Why have I attached such meaning to these things that I want?
Yeah.
What is behind all of that meaning? And where is that? What am I trying to soothe with all of that? Why is this my coping mechanism?
Right.
You know, again, I think you used this language earlier, and I think it's true, and maybe we need to flesh this out and define this a little bit more, but this term of being solid, mm-hmm. just being who it is that I need to be, that's what I learned in that, because I was pursuing something that I thought was what I needed, or mm-hmm. what I wanted, or was, and really what it was is I was pursuing something because I thought that it would make me more whole. Instead, I needed to be more whole mm-hmm. so that I could offer something.
Yeah.
And that was a huge mindset and a huge shift of recognizing that I didn't need this from you. I needed to learn how to soothe myself, how to be more solid so that I could offer this gift to you that we could share and build together. And to do that, I had to become a safe place. I had to get rid of the pressure, get rid of the criticism, mm-hmm. Get rid of all those things that were pushing you away or that were contributing to your fear and anxiety, but learn how to be a safe place for you to be able to grow and explore safely without fear of rejection, without fear of not being enough.
Right.
So I don't know. I think that's kind of how, I hope that's helpful to whoever asked the question.
Well, and there's so much more that could be said.
There is a lot more to be said. And I think we want to take this a little bit further in the extended content as well. So get on Covenant Club if you want to join that.
In the extended content, we can kind of talk a little bit more about what it looks like when this change starts happening.
Yeah, because when this shift occurs, it's not all smooth sailing from there.
Right.
And there's some initial withdrawal and some initial mistrust that's going to happen. Right. So
more on that.
More on that.
In extended content on Covenant Club.
In the meantime,
give us our wrap up.
Wrap up.
I can't say it.
Every marriage has gridlock issues where one spouse is quite content to maintain status quo and the other spouse desires growth and novelty. Fear is the fundamental reason that responders resist growth. To confront this fear, turn from dwelling on your fears and start to focus on reasons for hope. Pursuers, stop focusing on what is missing in your marriage and start focusing on your part in creating the dynamic that exists. If you want change, then change yourself.
Now it's time to grab your spouse and your Bible and head to your kitchen table to have the conversation about where growth is needed and what might be holding you back. How can both of you do a better job of confronting fear and embracing a growth mindset in your marriage?
Thanks for listening, subscribing, rating, sharing, and for all your support. Until next time, keep striving and don't settle. Thank you for listening. If you have something to add, we would invite your feedback, questions, and suggestions via our email, podcast@intimatecovenant.com. To submit anonymous questions and feedback, visit our website, intimatecovenant.com/podcast. Click on the button, Contact the Podcast, for an anonymous submission form.
In addition to this podcast, Intimate Covenant offers group Bible studies, private couples coaching, premarital counseling, weekend seminars, and an annual marriage retreat. We would love to continue the conversation about God's plan for intimate marriage and holy sexuality with you and your friends.
If you're interested in bringing us to your church or small group, please contact us, podcast@intimatecovenant.com. May God continue to bless your marriage.